Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We appreciate you joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon at the end of Wild Card Weekend, the opening round of the National Football League postseason. A Monday night football finale in Glendale, Arizona, between the Rams and the Vikings, was the final of 6 Wild Card matchups we had to kick off the NFL postseason. We react to what we saw on a Monday out in the desert between LA and Minnesota, what it means for the divisional round with those 4 matchups, and what might be the best weekend of football each and every year now decided, and of course, what it means for Minnesota moving forward. The coaching carousel really starting to spin around the National Football League, and some big updates to bring you as well over this next hour, Scott, up until 1 p.m. Eastern time on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much who won, it was who lost to me, and really how they lost last night. That's the story. And as far as next weekend, Ben, goes, it won't take a whole heck of a lot to overcome this past weekend as far as football excitement goes. It really was not a great weekend in NFL football.
5 of the 6 games decided by at least 12 points. 5 of the 6 games throughout the opening round of the postseason trended toward the under. Only 1 over. It was the first game of the NFL playoffs on a Saturday afternoon in Houston, which featured only 44 points. Again, that was the highest scoring combined game we saw of our first 6 matchups to start the NFL postseason. But Scott, we go to the end of Wild Card Weekend, and now what it means for the next round of the postseason. On a Monday night in Glendale, Arizona, at the home of the Cardinals, of course, a game moved because of the devastating and tragic wildfires in Los Angeles. The Rams play inspired football for their city, blowing out the Vikings 27-9, winning outright as a 2.5-point underdog. A total, Scott, of 47 and a hook stays under as the final 5 games of the Wild Card Weekend did as well. It was all Rams. Really, from the very start, they received the opening kickoff. They went 7 plays and 70 yards down the field in about 4.5 minutes, scoring a touchdown on their opening drive. They forced a 3-and-out for Minnesota on the Vikings' first offensive possession and then scored more points with a field goal on their second. The Rams never looked back. A dominant defensive effort and a great game out of Los Angeles, Scott, to win outright against the Vikings 27-9.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily this would have been a different outcome had the game played in L.A., but, you know, listening to the post-game press conference, you know, all the players, the coaches, everyone all said, you know, they wanted to do something for the folks back home, you know, just take 3 hours out of their lives and make it somewhat normal, give them something to smile about. And, you know, so I do think that actually, you know, played into L.A. playing as well as it did, but ultimately they would have beaten Minnesota anyway. Like I said, I think this is more of an anti. I don't think L.A. is going to go on after this, but this is, to me, just an anti-Minnesota Viking thing. And you can start with Sam Darnold. You can go to Justin Jefferson. Where was he after the first quarter? The coaching staff, nothing imaginative. You look at that team the last 2 weeks and you say to yourself, Ben, how did they win 14 games? I mean, they were just as bad last night as they were against Detroit 2 weeks ago. There was no, like, all right, let's look ourselves in the mirror. What did we do? We laid an egg, let's rally around it and show the world we're better than what we showed against Detroit on national TV, oh, by the way, and nothing. It was like the one game just led right into another, same exact thing. Amazing.
14 wins overall this season for the Vikings, Scott. but how quickly we can forget that based on two performances. In the most significant game of the regular season, trying to win the one seed in the NFC and a divisional crown in the NFC North, the Vikings and Sam Darnold falter. And then in the postseason, one and done, getting blown out in the desert by the LA Rams, with Minnesota a slight favorite in the game. Scott, there is no doubt we will talk about Sam Darnold, what his future is, if at all, in Minneapolis or really around the National Football League, how quickly you can see your paychecks dwindle in about 15 days as well for Sammy D. But to me, it was also a story about the Rams. Again, inspired football for a city that desperately needed something good. Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay both spoke about the Rams' resiliency in this playoff performance, a logistical nightmare the previous week, a distracted week as well, focusing on friends, families, loved ones, all dealing with the terrible loss we have seen in Los Angeles, to play in Glendale, to be in that environment, and to perform like they did, a statement by LA, a team with playoff pedigree under Matthew Stafford. And Scott, a young Rams defense that is ever improving. In week number 14, in a shootout that was the highest scoring game of the NFL season up until that point, the Rams edged out the Buffalo Bills at home 44-42. In the four games that the starters have fully played for LA since, they have allowed a total of 33 points. 6 against the 49ers, 9 against the Jets, 9 against the Cardinals in week 17 that clinched the NFC West Divisional Championship, and 9 last night to this Minnesota offense. And it was even Jared Verse, the rookie edge rusher for the Rams, with a scoop and score after Sam Darnold was stripped midway through the second quarter, taking it to the house. This Los Angeles defense playing at a very high level right now, Scott.
Yeah, it's so weird, Ben, you know, and you could look on the other side of it, you know, and after putting up the 40, 50 points there against Buffalo, the offense has been nothing short of mediocre at best. Now, they called off the dogs, and even they mentioned that after the game last night when they went up 3 scores. But forget last night's game. You know, the other games after that Buffalo game, it's been non-existent. It's that's how sports are so, like, I hear people saying, you know, that the Houston Texans might give Kansas City a game. Yet they were the same people that were saying Houston was going to lose to the LA Chargers. So because they beat the Chargers, now all of a sudden you're giving them credit. It's like, what have you done for me lately? It is amazing how things can just flip on a dime. I mean, the no changes in that LA defense that I know of, no changes in the LA offense, and yet it's the defense from that game on that's really carried this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Scott. The offense was not tasked with doing much. Matthew Stafford, a little bit more than 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Puka Nacua, not even the leading receiver for LA. It was their injured tight end, Tyler Higbee, who was injured last year, significant knee injury in the postseason game against Detroit, missed a majority of this season, back the final few weeks, and then injured again in the opening half, but not before more than 50 yards in those first 2 quarters. Kyren Williams was good on the ground, solid 16 carries for 76 yards. But Scott, it was that defense, and maybe it was Sam Darnold coming back down to earth. A career year for Sammy D, as good on the football field as we have ever seen him since he was drafted 3rd overall nearly a decade ago. 35 touchdowns, 12 INTs only throughout the regular season. But Scott, last night, multiple turnovers, an interception, and a fumble that led to a touchdown for that Rams defense, and sacked 9 times. Yes, some of that is on an injured offensive line for the Vikings, but a lot of it, Scott, was on an indecisive Sam Darnold, understanding he would be under duress and still holding on to the football for far too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's rookie mistake stuff, right? And he's been in the league way too long, albeit not starting that often, but still, he's been in the league way too long. You got to throw that ball away a couple times. You just have to. I know you want to make plays, but, and I know you're down 2 and sometimes 3 scores. I get all that stuff, but you got to realize that a sack is worse than an incompletion. 9 times, Ben. I mean, literally, I bet a good 6 were because of his indecisiveness, of just trying to hold on to the ball. And listen, trying to make plays, I get that, hoping that his receivers would get open, which they never did. So, you know, blame some of the wide receivers and tight ends on that as well. But, man, you just got to play smarter football than what he did.
And it was not good last night for Minnesota. So the Rams will now head to Philadelphia for the first game of two on Sunday in the divisional round. We'll take an early look at that and have more of a Sam Darnold conversation on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle. The divisional round is now set. We'll take an early look at where things stand in the NFL's final eight as the one seeds get ready for playoff action this upcoming weekend. But Scott, last night, after the final game of Wild Card weekend, the Rams absolutely throttling the Vikings 27-9 outright as a 2.5-point underdog. There are many questions to be answered for the Minnesota Vikings. A successful season beyond even the wildest expectations entering this year. A preseason win total of 7.5. The Vikings nearly doubled that with 14. But despite a 14-3 regular season record, their final two losses in the regular season finale against Detroit, and of course, here to begin the postseason against Los Angeles, will be what is remembered. And perhaps the individual's performance as well in Sam Darnold. Scott, last night sacked 9 times by the Rams, 25 of 40 for 245, a touchdown, but with an interception and a fumble that was recovered by LA's Jared Verse and taken back the other way for a defensive touchdown. Scott, Sam Darnold was not supposed to be the starter all year long this year in Minneapolis. More than likely, that was going to be the 10th overall pick, J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold was acquired this offseason after a solid year as the backup in San Francisco. Maybe to be that bridge quarterback to give J.J. a few weeks to learn on the fly and then lend things over to the rookie. That's not what happened after J.J. McCarthy was injured early in the preseason. It became Sam Darnold's show and one that he starred in for about 17 weeks. But he will be remembered by the final two performances. Scott, what do you think Sam Darnold's future is in Minnesota and perhaps around the NFL?
Yeah, a couple things, Ben. You know, here's a question I don't think anyone's really asked, and I'll throw it out there. Let's just say J.J. McCarthy didn't get hurt. And he just wasn't ready to be the starter starting of the year. You know, would he have come in at anywhere in this line knowing that, okay, we want J.J. to be our starter? But I think Sam Darnold played so well that even if McCarthy didn't get hurt, we'd probably be in this same spot. The only thing is McCarthy really hasn't been able to practice. So right, let's look at it from two different ways. Let's look at it from the negative way and the positive way. All right, the negative way with Sam Darnold, you went 14-3. But you bomb out the last two games, you're one and done. That's the negative. How about the positive? Because that's me, Ben. I'm Mr. Positive, as everyone knows around the office. Maybe the Vikings lost the battle, but they won the war. Because the war would have been bringing Sam Darnold back, signing him to, you know, maybe a franchise him, but maybe signing him to a four-year deal. You make the commitment to him. Maybe you trade McCarthy because you're going to get a bunch of offers. And then next year you find out this is the Sam Darnold that we've seen the last two games. So right, you lose the battle, you lost the game, but maybe you won the war in that I think Minnesota's going to move on from him and go with McCarthy because of what we've seen these last two games. So I know it's tough for Viking fans to accept right now, but I don't think he's coming back. I think he probably cost himself, honestly, probably a half a year, Ben, of guaranteed money. Someone's still going to sign him. There's going to be some team out there that still thinks Sam Darnold's the greatest thing in the world. But he's got to, I think, get like a Danny Nichols contract, as I like to call him. Four-year deal, maybe 2 years guaranteed, where maybe he would have gotten a 2.5, 3-year guarantee. I think that's down to maybe 1.5 to 2 after what we've seen these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, Scott, I think it's interesting, right? Because I do believe Sam Darnold still has a market around the NFL. But there was an idea that entering week 16 and 17 of this NFL season, when Minnesota captured its 14th win of the year, that maybe Sam Darnold would compete for starting jobs around the National Football League, maybe even with this Vikings organization. I think they were going to be put into a precarious position, perhaps, had they won the division or earned that number one overall seed, or maybe won a playoff game, to have to make a very difficult choice between J.J. McCarthy, who they drafted 10th overall, believe in as the face of the future of this franchise, or kind of be backed into a corner to pay Sam Darnold, because how could you deny the success? And Sam Darnold still had a wildly successful season. But when you are put into those significant stages, Scott, to be really tasked with, all right, you are a starting NFL quarterback. Can you do enough to win the biggest of games? And the answer was a resounding no for all of the NFL to see. That's a tough pill to swallow, I think. Did it cost Sam Darnold millions of dollars? Perhaps. Is he still probably going to get a couple-year deal somewhere for $20, $25 million annually? It's just kind of how the quarterback market is going. But Scott, I do believe his time in Minneapolis is done. We kind of heard from Kevin O'Connell after the game talking about the journey that he and Sam went on. It almost seemed like a campaign speech to kind of bolster Sam Darnold's resume for the rest of the NFL. I do, though, believe, like you mentioned, that Sam Darnold is going to be signed by someone this offseason. For exactly how much, what does the money look like? That, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, maybe you franchise him and then trade him, you know, which I always thought was a dumb rule. I don't know why the players ever agreed to that. It seems to me that you can't franchise me and limit me versus me being a free agent, but you can do that. Maybe they would do that, but I don't think he's going to be, a Minnesota Viking next year. I kind of, you know, Ben, in a strange sort of way, I compare him to Jared Goff, right? In that Sam Darnold's had opportunities. He had it with the Jets. He had it with Carolina. Not really with San Francisco, but despite how much success he had this year, we kind of go back to the Jet and Carolina Panther days. So when we get these last two games, we wipe out the 14 games of greatness and say, all right, that's Sam Darnold. And that's kind of like Jared Goff, right? He takes the Rams to the Super Bowl. He's had nothing but success with Detroit the last couple of seasons. You know, one of the best, you know, against the spread quarterbacks in the NFL. Stats, 4,000 yards. But there are a lot of people, Ben, that say, you know, Detroit's not going to win. How come? I just don't trust Jared Goff, you know? So, you know, it's hard to get out from underneath that stigma. Yeah, Darnold had a great year. All right, I had two lousy years. You would think any team would be going gaga to get him. But it's hard to get out from underneath that rock of, you're just really not that good.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it, Scott. And there's not all that many quarterback jobs that are truly open as a starter, despite what we might think. More around FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So the Rams vanquished the Vikings in the final game of Wild Card Weekend, which means the divisional round of the NFL postseason is now set. Many consider it the best weekend of football all season long. Doubleheader on Saturday, doubleheader on Sunday between the best teams in the NFL contending for a conference crown and, of course, a Lombardi Trophy. Scott, the four remaining teams in the AFC. The Chiefs host the Texans in the first game of divisional weekend. The Bills host the Ravens in the final game of the divisional round in a marquee matchup we have all waited for. Sandwiched in between the four teams out of the NFC, the one seed, the Lions, play host to the Washington Commanders on Saturday night in the Motor City. The Rams, courtesy of the victory over Minnesota, head to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern time, the first of two games on Sunday. Scott, of all four divisional round matchups that we have for this upcoming weekend, which one intrigues you the most?
You know, I'm not going to go with the obvious one, right? Buffalo and Baltimore. Right. I'm going to go with Washington and Detroit, Ben. You know, I thought, you know, I had a pretty good week last week, except my absolute best bet which was I just loved Tampa Bay against Washington. I just didn't think – I bought it to Baker Mayfield for the first time, and this is what happens. It bites you in the butt. So I am intrigued. I love Jaden Daniels. I know you did too the whole year. I know Lisey did. We've had conversations with Joe about it. I really was on Washington's bandwagon. I'm not exactly sure why I jumped off last week, but – I'm pro Washington, and I'm anti Dan Campbell in Detroit. I just am. I'm waiting for him to stub his toe. You know, you watch that Philadelphia game, and Nick Sirianni's got the Dan Campbell. You know, same other, different situation, right? He's as goofy can be as well. But this past week, Philadelphia did the right thing. You know, they punted when they had the ball at midfield. They didn't go for any goofy fourth downs. I don't know if Dan Campbell's able to do that, to turn it on and turn it off. So I have no faith in him. And this Washington team's got a little something going there. They really do. They really impressed me against Tampa Bay. So that's the one, you know, can they keep it going? Generally, these Cinderella teams, you might get through the first round, but it really is rare when you can get through a second round. But that one intrigues me because the possibility is there for our first, you know, major upset.
Largest spread of division around weekend. It's an 8.5-point number in favor of Detroit. The Lions, the one seed in a conference for the first time in franchise history. Last year at this time, Scott, as Detroit began its postseason run, even hosting a game, they had just won a division for the first time in 3 decades. They were hosting a playoff game for the first time in 30 years. With a victory over the Rams narrowly, it was the first playoff win for the Lions in 32 seasons. Now trying to go even further than any Lions franchise team ever has before. Reach a Super Bowl. Detroit won NFL championships back in the late 1950s, but has never even played in a Super Bowl, let alone won a Lombardi Trophy. Scott, as we look at the NFC championship odds right now, the odds makers really do see it more as a two-team race. Even money, plus 100 price on the Lions, only 70 cents back. The Eagles at plus 170. Pretty steep drop off to the Rams at plus 650 and the Commanders at an 11-1 price. You are intrigued by the Washington-Detroit matchup on Saturday night. Is there any chance, Scott, we see some chaos throughout divisional round weekend that would keep us from seeing a game in the Motor City to decide an NFC champion between Detroit and Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, listen, I do give both dogs a decent shot. You know, the way the Rams have been playing, I mean, more than likely it ends that Philadelphia was my choice to go to the Super Bowl, so I'm going to stick with that. But would it shock me? No, you know, I wasn't really that impressed. I mean, really, how could you be with that Eagles offense? You know, maybe it's just first game, you know, not jitters, but first game rustiness for Jalen Hurts and that offense and you know, goofy A.J. Brown reading his book on the sideline. What is that? I mean, that is like, are you Siri reading a book? This is not a 40-point game where you just got to, you know, be deal. This is a close game and you're reading the book. I don't care how inspirational it'll be. That's a little weird. So, would it shock me? No. I think I give the Rams probably more credit or more of a chance to win than I do Washington. But again, you know, throwing in the Dan Campbell factor, ultimately, it probably will be Detroit and Philadelphia, right? But it wouldn't shock me. It's the NFL. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, listen, I would agree, Scott. I think the Rams have a better shot. That defense is playing lights out right now. The total for that game in Philly is 43.5, and yet the Eagles remain a 5.5-point favorite. The Lions more than a touchdown favorite, laying 8.5. I said Detroit was the biggest favorite of the division around. Well, that was just equal. Some market movement in the AFC to break down up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Scott, right before the break, I mentioned that Detroit, an 8.5-point favorite on Saturday night, hosting the Commanders, was the largest favorite of the divisional round. One of two spreads that we had north of a touchdown. Now we have co-favorites for the largest favorite of the divisional round, if you will. Some market movement in the first game of the weekend as the number one seed, the Kansas City Chiefs, Very comfortable with that opening round bye. Very comfortable inside Arrowhead. An AFC title once again running through KC. Now an 8.5-point favorite as the Chiefs get set to host the Houston Texans. Total stands at 41.5. This line, Scott, was 7.5 for most of this week so far. Now 8.5. Could it be just the onslaught of money back in Kansas City? 85% of the money in terms of those spread bets, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook, all on the Chiefs. A lot of public love, and rightfully so, on Kansas City. But for a team, Scott, that is not great covering numbers, wouldn't land more than a touchdown.
One of the worst, believe it or not, in the NFL. I mean, they've just, the second half of the season in particular, I think they covered one game literally over the last 2.5 months. This is kind of weird, Ben. You don't generally see 1-point line movements this early in the week, albeit they play Saturday, but still, because, you know, normally, all right, the line will come out Sunday night, maybe Monday morning, depending where you do your shopping. And if it's a wrong line, the boys in Vegas, the wise guys, if you will, they'll bet that right away. There's guys waiting at the window to see what the lines are. And if it's wrong, it'll shift, you know, Monday or even Sunday night. Tuesday for it to shift, that's kind of weird. Unless there's some injury that we're going to hear about later today, or maybe even if it's, maybe it's even Kansas City just saying, all right, you know what, Patrick Mahomes is absolutely 100% healthy, his ankle injury completely healed. But it's kind of weird for a line to move, you know, albeit from 7.5 to 8.5 is not like a magic number. You know, 6.5 to 7.5 or 2.5 to 3.5 would cross over. Yeah. But still, that is kind of strange, because all I heard yesterday, Ben, was all the, you know, the guys on the radio and TV saying how Kansas City, as we just mentioned, hasn't covered all season long, basically, and yet the line went even further up. So my general rule of thumb is, if I got a stinky line and it gets stinkier, if I can say that, then I either stay away or bet with it, even though the Texans plus, you know, over a touchdown and 2-point conversion is very, very tempting.
Yeah, you know, Scott, it is really intriguing as well, because not only have the Chiefs not been a great cover team all season, but especially when laying more than a touchdown. 5 games this year, Kansas City has been more than a touchdown favorite. So 7.5 or above, or at least a 7-point favorite, I should say. And they are 0-5 against the number. They are 5-0 straight up, but they are 0-5 against the spread. And if you eliminate the Week 18 finale for KC, when it was all of their reserves in Denver, a 38-point loss, Scott, the average margin for the Chiefs in their first 16 games, 6.1. At the end of the regular season, as I look at it right now, that would have been 8th best in the National Football League. Not exactly that world beater, despite 15 wins for Kansas City. It's been the story of their season, but when it comes to playoff pedigree, nobody has more success or experience than this Chiefs team. This is year number 7 with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback in Kansas City. All 6 of the previous years, they have played in the AFC Championship. The previous 5 ahead of last season, all 5 of those AFC title games at home in Arrowhead as well. So all 6 years that Mahomes has completed as the starting quarterback, AFC title game appearance, 4 Super Bowl berths, 3 Lombardi trophies. Kansas City trying to make history as the first back-to-back Super Bowl champ to even reach a 3rd consecutive Super Bowl. The Texans, as an underdog, they've been pretty good with C.J. Stroud, as they were to start off wild card weekend, winning outright as a 2.5-point dog against the Chargers. 11-7 against the spread since the beginning of last year. 8 outright wins. Scott, I think some people would probably tell you the Texans can certainly keep this game within margin, especially with a total of 41 in the hook and a really stout defense under D'Amico Ryans. Is there any chance, Scott, you believe the Texans can pull off a monumental outright upset victory?
No, especially in Kansas City. You know, you got home field advantage, you got the officials, and you got Patrick Mahomes. That's a tough threesome to overcome, right? You know, because if you think they're going to call a penalty against the Kansas City Chiefs in the final couple of minutes of a close football game, then you've not been watching Kansas City football over the last 4 or 5 years. In the pecking order of the three games they have, you know, it's a point spread, like Buffalo and Baltimore is just a toss-up. But out of the three other games, Ben, I give Houston the least chance. I probably give the Rams the best chance, then Washington, and then Houston. For Houston to go into Kansas City, that would be so – give them all the credit in the world. We saw this last year. They blew out Cleveland. They lost the next game by double digits. Same thing might happen here. You got arrested Patrick Mahomes. You got him on a mission. They accomplished what they wanted to, home field advantage. I would be real surprised, unless they're caught looking ahead to the winner of the Buffalo-Baltimore matchup. But I like I said, I think that would be a surprise. They could be competitive. They can keep it close because that's what Kansas City's been doing, like I said, all year. I don't know. Is this the public? I've asked Sherpin, Dave Sherpin, my partner at night, many times, Sports Consigliere, you know, what generally moves a line? And he says more times than not, it's not how much has bet been, but it's by who's betting. So the public, generally speaking, doesn't move the line. But if you get a wise guy, a couple of wise guys that they respect that come in today and bet Kansas City, then they'll move the line. But maybe that 85% is enough of public money for the boys in Vegas to say, all right, let's bump it up a point. If they're all going to bet Kansas City anyway, what's the difference? You know, and then maybe we could drop it, you know, on Saturday before the wise guys, you know, pound, you know, Houston.
For sure. Maybe that's the thought process, just the overwhelming amount of money. But it's kind of always been overwhelming money, at least as I have checked these spread and investment stats on FanDuel in favor of Kansas City. It's got the final game of the divisional round, the Ravens and the Bills in Orchard Park on Sunday evening. And when you say it's a toss-up, a pick'em, regardless, it is expected to be a sensational football game in the divisional round with a spot in the AFC Championship at stake and the opportunity for two quarterbacks and franchises to maybe change the narrative that has followed them throughout postseasons past. Minus 116, the money line price for Baltimore, an ever-so-slight favorite by 14 cents. In front of Buffalo, minus 102 on the other side for the Bills. 51.5 is the total. Scott, will this game live up to the billing? And who do you give the edge to early here on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because we're going to play checkers here, right? Because the winner of this game is then going to more than likely face Kansas City. Buffalo lost the Baltimore regular season. If they win... Yeah. They now have the, you know, we got our extra chip on our shoulder against Baltimore because we lost to them and they kicked our butts, but they beat Kansas City. Baltimore, though, you know, they lost to Kansas City. So the roles were reversed here a little bit. So if one of these two teams actually gets to the Super Bowl, then they've overcome, like, you know, good odds and ways to do it. I like Baltimore. I do. You know, both teams, both quarterbacks, and both organizations, you know, and more so Buffalo organization-wise, has exercised the demons. No two ways about it. Ultimately, though, that this is not, they're not going to exercise any demons, you know, this weekend. They got to get to the Super Bowl to exercise some and really win, you know, to really exercise the demons. So I do find that interesting. But I like, you know, I think it's Baltimore's year. I got to throw Baltimore Ben, into the Nick Sirianni Philadelphia and Dan Campbell Detroit Lions. I think they are actually the best football team. As long as John Harbaugh doesn't do anything goofy on the sidelines and have Lamar Jackson throw the football 35, 40 times and not run Derrick Henry. If he plays it smart, I think they're the better team and they get the road win.
And they had a huge game on the ground in that week four matchup back at the end of September in Baltimore against these Bills. Coaching carousel around the NFL. Might Deion Sanders be the actual head coach of the Cowboys? We'll discuss next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, Scott. The coaching carousel never really slows down around the National Football League. Entering Sunday, we had six head coaching vacancies around the NFL. The Patriots changed that, as we expected. Mike Vrabel named the new head man in New England. So down to five vacancies. Scott, yesterday, as we were live on the air, we got the news that Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys could not agree to a new deal. His expiring contract now done. The Cowboys and McCarthy parting ways. We weren't overly surprised by that, but it did seem as though the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy were perhaps in the last week trending toward a renewed partnership. Not the case. We'll talk McCarthy and his outlook in just a moment, now as a head coaching free agent. But Scott, of course, when it's the Dallas Cowboys and there's a head coaching job available, it is going to get a ton of attention and notoriety. And right as we were about to get to kick last night on a Monday Night Football finale to end out Wild Card Weekend, some intriguing reports from Fox Sports' Jordan Schultz that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys had reached out to Deion Sanders, the head coach currently, of course, of Colorado, and that the conversation went well, and at least at the start, there appears to be mutual interest on either side. Scott, what do you make of this idea that Prime might be making his way back to Dallas?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think this falls under the Bill Belichick teams reaching out to Bill Belichick headline. Yeah, they probably did. No, you know, no. All right, I get that. But that doesn't mean Belichick really is interested. And it doesn't seem like he really is interested. Same thing here. Now, clearly, you know, they know each other, obviously. Deion played for Dallas, so he has a relationship. I don't doubt that he's picked up the phone a couple of times, said, hello, what's going on? You know, but is he really interested? I don't think so, right? You know, he wants to coach in the NFL if he could coach his sons. Now, he could draft his other son. He's not going to be a first-round pick, so theoretically he could, you know, coach one of his other players. But what if his other player, you know, one of his other sons really not good enough? You know, Shador probably is, but maybe the other son isn't. So I don't see it, Ben. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just like with Belichick. He's made all these public statements about how he's staying at Colorado, loves Colorado, has a great recruiting class. He's got transfers coming in. I mean, it would look so bad. I think it's more these guys just love their names in the paper, in the press. They just do. You know, they're media whores, as we like to call them. I don't know if this necessarily helps Deion having rumors about how he might go to the NFL, but you know what? I'm guessing 90% of his recruiting class is already in. He may pull these kids aside and say, don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. Just having fun, whatever the case may be. But these guys just, they love seeing their names in the print. It's as simple as that. It gives him publicity. It gives Colorado publicity, somewhat in a negative light, but you could spin that as a positive. Everyone's talking Colorado football. Yeah, he's not going to Dallas. No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's realistic for either side, Scott. I'll tell you why in just a moment. But we did hear from Deion Sanders, who was reached out to by ESPN's Adam Schefter last night and had this to say. Quote, to hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful, and it's intriguing. I love Jerry and believe in Jerry. After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. But I love Boulder, and everything there is about our team, the coaches, our student body, and the community. End quote. It's not exactly a no. It's not exactly an effusive yes either. It's coach speak to basically build a little bit of drama, if I do say so myself. Scott, there was some speculation that after Shador and Shiloh and Travis Hunter all departed Boulder, would Deion Sanders up and leave as well, looking for that next big job, whether collegiately or perhaps if the opportunity was presented in the NFL. And then it became pretty clear as he signed the number two quarterback recruit in the 2025 class in Julian Juju Lewis that this guy was here to stay. And he landed some pretty big transfers. And Deion Sanders has had great success at Colorado, a team that before Deion won a single game in the 2022 college football season that won 9 a year ago. Scott, I actually do believe, although I was once critical of what Coach Prime would do in Boulder, that he has instilled his ways of success for this CU program, and they are working. The way that he is building a program, kind of revolutionary in college football in today's climate, has worked with success. I don't think it makes sense for Deion Sanders to leave that situation right here, right now, and head to Dallas. I also don't ultimately believe Jerry Jones would land on Deion Sanders. Scott, you mentioned both of these guys love the spotlight, their auras, their egos, very, very large. And frankly, I don't think either guy would like to take a back seat or lose some of that shine in this perspective job. Jerry Jones bowing out to allow Deion Sanders to be the star and really have control of the organization, or vice versa. really, I don't think it's going to happen. I also don't think it makes much sense for either party involved.
I think it does for Dallas. I'll push back a little bit there. Don't forget, we had Bill Parcells, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was, when Jerry had a lot more vigor, kind of hand the reins over to a bigger personality. Didn't work out well, but, he was stuck with Tony Romo as his quarterback and a couple of other bad quarterbacks. But, they did have some success. They got to the playoffs. If they could snap a football, they didn't even beat Seattle, but I digress. So, and it's going to take a personality like that, right, to overcome Jerry. I think Deion's personality is big enough, and I think Jerry, has gotten older, a little slower in his ways and everything that, I think he would acquiesce to okay, you're the face of the franchise to a certain extent. Anyway, so I think that would have worked, but I just don't see how he could turn his back on all the commitments and everything he has said and done over the last 6 months. I would be more concerned. I think there's a better chance of him going to Florida State in a year or two than it would be the NFL. I think he says, all right, let my kids get to the NFL. Let's figure out where they're going to go. Let's see where they're going to get drafted. If Florida State wants to come a calling, which I think they will, I could see that happening more than I can the NFL.
Yeah, I think I'm not saying he's going to be in Boulder forever, at Colorado. I do also think that Jerry last had Bill Parcells or somebody to push back in 06, and maybe in the last two decades has kind of liked the control that he's had of the Cowboys. I got to head out. They're using the studio for interviews. Scott Wetzel takes you home on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle here on the grid, closing up shop here on a Tuesday. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Sports Grid Radio. So talking Deion Sanders with the Dallas Cowgirls, as I like to call them. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But I really, from a Dallas standpoint, why not? This franchise needs a shot in the arm. And, Jerry, pushing 70-plus years old at this point, he's been reluctant to really be the face of the franchise. Like, we've seen him talk after games, no two ways about it. When all the Derrick Henry stuff came up, and at the end of the year with the Mike McCarthy's job on the line. But for the most part, he's kind of sat back. No one's really kind of taken the reins. His son really hasn't, and he's the one that's going to ultimately, take over this franchise, right? He's really not been a public figure. So I think the Cowboys situation is open, and I don't, it's going to be interesting. Out of all the open head coaching jobs, this is the one. Like, are we going to go Jason Garrett again, an obscure figure that Jerry will be able to manipulate, or are we going to go, Bill Parcells, as I mentioned, 20 years ago, and bring in a guy who's, able to be a dynamic figure and take over the franchise and run things this whole way? Does anyone want that job? You got Dak Prescott, for better or worse. You have yourself theoretically a quarterback. You have a wide receiver in C.D. Lamb. It's a halfway decent team, tough division. You got the Philadelphia and Washington. They don't appear to be going anywhere. Is that an attractive job? That's really the question. I don't know if you have an opportunity to go to 2, 3, 4 other places, a la Ben Johnson, would you pick Dallas? I don't think so. Not that the other jobs are great. And Dak being there, if you think you could turn Dak into a playoff winner, is a huge plus for them. A little pop quiz. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to ask Ben about this. He'll be back tomorrow, so I'll throw this at him, but I'll throw it to you guys now. Give me the pecking order of the following five guys to get NFL head coaching jobs this year. In no particular order, we got to put them in order. Bill Belichick, Rex Ryan, who's talking to the Jets, Ron Rivera, who's talking to the Chicago Bears, Mike McCarthy, or Pete Carroll. Ultimately, I don't think any of them are getting jobs. I don't think the Jets are going to give it to Rex Ryan. It sounds good. Gave him publicity, gave the 4-letter network publicity. probably called up, his people probably called up the Jets and say, do me a favor, throw me a bone. Let me interview. I'm here in New York. We can do it for 5 minutes and you can hang up the phone on me. At least I can go on the air and say I'm talking. And it kind of like emphasizes his position, gives it a little more stature over the four-letter network. So ultimately, I don't think he's going to the Jets. Rivera used to play for the Bears. Now he's bombed out, you know, a couple of times now, you know, washed out with Washington. Would the Bears throw him a life raft knowing he's a former Chicago Bears, you know, really, really good player? Maybe. I wouldn't do it, but possibly. Mike McCarthy? I don't think McCarthy's getting a job. I think he's done. Why would you? Honestly, you know, you're going to go back to his pedigree with the Green Bay Packers. He had a, you know, what's going to turn out, whether you like this or not, he's had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Dak Prescott, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame if he continues to throw for 4,000 yards every single year. Not going to win a big game in his life, but he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame. He had that and didn't have any success. So why would you bring him into your franchise? So I don't think him. Maybe Pete Carroll. There might be one team. If he could go into an interview and show him, yeah, I'm 70 years old, but I'm as strong can be. I got all the enthusiasm I ever had. Let's take this. You know, it's going to be a 2-3 year window for Pete. Problem is none of these teams are kind of like win now teams. You know, they're all teams that stink. It's not a team that was supposed to be really, really good, fired their head coach. It's teams that are bad. So is he taking over Tennessee and making a winner out of them? Is he taking over the Giants? Is he taking over the Saints? And none of those teams have quarterbacks. I kind of doubt it. And then Belichick, I don't think Belichick is going. I really don't. So the other thing, one last thing about Sam Darnold that Ben and I were talking about. Here's one of the issues with Sam Darnold. And really you start to think about it, and it's true, as all my statements are. Sam Darnold's the drop-back quarterback. So what? Drop-back quarterbacks, when they don't play well, man, they look awful. They just do. A la Jared Goff, another comparison with Jared Goff. You know, when Jared Goff doesn't look good, man, we step back and say, he's awful. Why? Because he's not scrambling all over the place. You know, scrambling quarterbacks that don't have success throwing the football that game can at least look like they're doing their mobile, but those drop-back stand-up quarterbacks, the Sam Darnolds of the world, when they're not having success, and they look awful. They just do. And that's what we got out of Sam Darnold. All right, football full circle. Have yourselves a great Tuesday. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on The Grid.